Our gospel this morning comes from the 12th chapter according to Luke. Jesus encourages disciples to invest their hearts and live fully into God's reign. Instead of facing life with fear, those who know God's generosity are always ready to receive from God and to give from others. A reading from Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 32. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. The year was 1995. And about this time of year, I was in the midst of summer Greek at Wartburg Seminary. It's the very first thing, the very first class that you took in those days. 6 days a week, we ate, drank, lived Greek. It's all we did. I survived, I'm glad to say. And then we moved into our very first week of classes called Prologue Week. Something that you need to know about Wartburg Seminary is community is central to the teaching, to the ethos, to the theology of the place. So much so that if you look at the physical layout of the community, it is built like a U. And in the center of the U is a building that is split in two. One half of the building is the chapel, where we gathered every day during the week for worship at 9:30 in the morning. The other half of the building is the refectory, or the dining hall. So after worship, we would head over to the dining hall for coffee and conversation. And on Wednesdays, fresh from the oven, homemade sweet rolls. It was wonderful. But during Prologue Week, because community is so central, they loaded us all up, took us to a Bible camp in Wisconsin. And there we did a lot of stuff, but central to it was a low ropes course. So low ropes are a series of obstacles where your group can only complete them by working together. And one of those was a trust fall. Put the picture up if you would. So this is a trust fall. You get up on top of a picnic table. This looks like it's a ladder or something, but at the Bible camp we went to, you got up on a picnic table and you folded your arms and you locked your knees and you said to your group, "Falling," and they said, "Fall away." And you fall off the top of this picnic table into their outstretched waiting arms. How's your trust level right now? See, the deal is, if you kept your knees locked and fell straight back, those nine set of arms, they're not locked together. They're just out like this. Your weight is distributed in such a way that those nine people can easily catch you. They have no problem. And then they set you down and you're not hurt. But if as you fall, you unlock your knees, and what that causes is your butt to stick out,
and your butt will fall through the first set of hands that you hit, and then you're in jeopardy of being hurt. Hopefully they'll slow you down a little bit before you bounce on the ground. Do we trust or do we fear? Are there hands waiting for us to fall into? The question that I was going to ask kiddos if they came up for a children's sermon this morning was, who do you trust? Who do you trust? And why? Right? Why do we trust someone? Probably because over time, they have proven themselves to be trustworthy. Most of us, hopefully, were raised by parents that we can trust. Most of us, hopefully, have friends and family members we can trust. I think in the midst of the texts that are before us today, the issues of trust and fear are dancing back and forth. I mean, think about it. Abram and Sarai are together. Now, just a few chapters earlier, we don't know how much time has passed to where we get to our reading today, but it was in the 12th chapter of Genesis that Abram is called by God. And he's told, you're going to have a whole bunch of ancestors. But some time has passed, and now Abram goes into a conversation with God and says, Lord, when's it going to happen? You told me I'm going to have ancestors, but the way it looks to me, it's like Eliezer of Damascus. One of my household slaves is going to be my heir. And God says, oh, no, 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 no. You've got to trust, Abraham. You've got to trust. Look at the stars. If you can count them, that's how many your descendants are going to be. It's going to be huge and vast. So the question becomes, can Abram trust in God? If you keep reading in Genesis, you find out that it's not always easy for Abram to trust either. Just like us. Sometimes we wonder where God is and what God is up to. It's not long, and Abram and Sarai hatch a plan that since she's not having children, let's have a child by Hagar. Well, you know how that worked out. You know that eventually God did provide the first heir, Isaac. Because all of those stars in the sky has to begin with the birth of one child. The question becomes, can we trust the promises God has given? Come into the psalm with me. This psalm is a psalm of deep trust. The psalmist is trying to say that this is the one that we praise, this is the one that we worship, this is the one that we can trust. And then puts in this wonderful visual of army and warfare, of soldiers standing. Remember, in the day of the psalmist, it wasn't like modern warfare where missiles are shot miles and miles away. You went to a battlefield and you stood maybe 100 or a couple of hundred yards away from the enemy who was facing you before battle. You could see them. You could see that they might count more than you. You could see that they might be bigger than you. You could see that they had horses, the tanks of the day. Can you feel the fear welling up? And yet the psalmist says, it's not the size of the army. It's not the horse to be trusted. Trust is in God alone. Can we trust? Do we trust? Jesus looks at those who are around him and he says, have no fear, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We sang it this day, this beautiful song of trust. Jesus is there with his disciples, encouraging them to understand that to trust is to live in such a way that you are expecting the return of the Father at any moment, like a slave who is ready to welcome the master home from a large banquet, the wedding feast, just sitting there, ready to throw open the door and welcome him in again, ready to use all time, talent, and treasure for the sake of building up the kingdom with others, to live in a way of trust that holds us close. What do we trust? In whom can we trust? I mean, the truth is, in our community, there are all sorts of people who are living in the midst of some really difficult things. And maybe you're one of them. Maybe it's failing health. Maybe it's issues of aging and not being able to do things the way you used to be able to do them. Maybe it's the issue of having a new start in a new place. Maybe it is a diagnosis that is not what you wanted to hear, but it is the truth of your reality right now. Can you trust that God is with you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be the kind of people who step back and fall into the waiting arms of a Savior who died and rose again, ready to grab hold of us. Here's what I invite you to do. In those times when you walk into places where fear is beginning to well up, because we all have that happen. And maybe it's fear for yourself or fear for a family member or fear for a friend. I invite you to find a space of quiet, wherever that is for you. And know that our doors are open, so it can be this sanctuary where you can come and sit alone and just breathe deep. And breathe deep. And breathe deep, letting the Spirit wrap around you. And in the midst of that, maybe you can imagine yourself in a trust fall like this, locking your knees and falling backwards into the waiting arms of a Savior who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is with you this very moment. That's what we believe. That's what we trust. That you would drop into the grip of that arm and let that Savior hold you. Just hold you. To see you through whatever it is that is on your heart or your mind. Or maybe it's the ability to see that beloved one of yours drop into those hands as well and be held. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Amen.